Hare Krishna. I have been chosen by His Holiness Yadunandan Swami to give this week's topical class, and it's my first time, as you probably already noticed, giving any type of class. So I decided to split this class into a couple sections. Firstly, because today is the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. So I decided to start with, we just had an ecstatic weekend of the Holy Name Retreat, and we had a really wonderful Harinama Sankirtan in Queen's Day in Amsterdam, yeah. So, if any of you have any realizations, anything that sparks, you're free to share them. Just to share until my computer boots. Anything? Any thoughts? Put you on the spot. Anyways, one thing that I noticed about the retreat was that Sachinandan Swami, his depth of Krishna consciousness was so deep and you'd say realized. He's very realized soul. So, one thing that struck me that he mentioned in one of his retreats was he said, resistance leads to persistence. So that's in the context of, I'm guessing that it was, if you try to resist your senses in sense gratification, then one just leads, it just leads to persistence. I mean, it's like pouring gas on fire. There's that analogy. So that's just one of my thoughts. What about yours? Nobody. All right. Come on. A whole week. All right. So nothing. I did have a verse prepared, but didn't get it on the board. But have it for you here. It's a random verse. Okay. Maybe if you can repeat, and I'll chant the verse. Shri Raja Uvacha Narayana Abhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishtam Arhatano Vaktum Yuyam Hi Brahma Vittamaha. Read the word for word. Shri Raja Uvacha. The king said, Narayana Abhidhanasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, named Narayana, Brahmana, of the Absolute Truth, Paramatma, of the Supersoul, Nishtan, The transcendental situation. Arhata, you may kindly. Na, to us. Vaktum, speak. Yuyam, all of you. He, indeed. Brahmavittamaha, the most expert knowers of the Supreme. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. King Nimi inquired, please explain to me the transcendental situation of the Supreme Lord Narayan, who is Himself the Absolute Truth and the Supersoul of everyone. You can explain this to me because you are the most expert in transcendental knowledge. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, in the previous verse, the sages informed the king, Narayana paro mayam, anjas tarati dustaram. Simply by unalloyed devotion to Lord Narayan, one can very easily cross over the ocean of material illusion. Therefore, in this verse, the king is requesting specific information from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. It is significant in this verse that the king refers to the Supreme Lord as Narayan, Brahman and Paramatma. Although King Nimi is already understood to be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his question he wants to clarify that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest transcendental truth. In Bhagavatam, Viranti Tattvat Vidas Tattvam Yag Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. Therefore, it is to be understood that the word Narayana in this verse refers to the Bhagavan feature or the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. Generally, the speculative philosophers become attracted to the impersonal Brahman feature of the absolute truth, whereas the mystic yogis meditate upon the Paramatma, the Supersoul, within everyone's heart. On the other hand, there are those who have achieved mature transcendental knowledge, surrender directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who is eternally situated in his abode called Vaikuntha Dham. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly states, Brahmano hi pratisthanam, I am the source of the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that the Supersoul, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, is a secondary plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. King Nimi wants the sages to make clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original feature of the Absolute Truth, and therefore he places his question before the next of the nine Yogendras, Pipalayana. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the word Nishta can also be translated as firm faith. In this sense, Nimi Maharaj is inquiring about the process of developing perfect faith in Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Nishta. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Narati Svabarandigam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatham Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpale Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sude Nevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhevacha Paritanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, topical class. Pichai. So I decided to split this, as I was saying before, split this topical class into little sections. So, first section was basically blown. You guys are supposed to share your realizations, but that's gone. Second section, I'll talk about what Maharaj suggested was, he said that I could pick from his class some themes. So for the past 5 topical classes, we've been doing like Varnashram Dharma as our topic. So the last class Maharaj gave was mainly on the qualities associated in the Varnas and the Ashrams, such as truthfulness, austerity, tolerance, like that. So I decided that I would try to expand a little bit more on these qualities, and hopefully you might find it interesting so you don't fall asleep. But so let's start. So what we know about Varnashram is that there's mainly 4 ashramas and 4 varnas, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13 that he actually creates these 4 varnas and ashrams. So he states, Chatur Varnya Maya Shristvam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. And it's the real theory around modern day today is that if you're born in a specific caste or class, that you're actually that person. Meaning, it's like a prevalent theory in India today that I was born in Brahmin family, so I'm a Brahmin. But we see, according to this verse, that Krishna clearly states it's guna and karma, according to your qualities and according to one's occupational duty. So the Indians, or in India, it's prevalent that if you were born in a Brahmin family, that you'd become a Brahmin just because you were born in a Brahmin family. But that's not the case. And there's this one discussion between Srila Prabhupada and Professor Katavsky, Russian professor. And in that discussion, he states that, Professor Katavsky is like, I think I'm a Brahmana because I was born in a Brahmin family and I'm a Katavsky, Russian guy. And so, Srila Prabhupada was like, no, how can that be? Because Krishna says in 4.13, Chaturvanya, according to your quality and your work, one is awarded their status of life. So he was refuting this professor. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to state that it's actually due to this identification with this with the body and with these designations of I'm Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Vaishya, and a Sudra, that the Bharatvarsha, as we know it, it was known as Ilavrita Varsha before, but it became separated because of this designation. And then he also mentions in present day Pakistan and India, they separated because of this designation problem. So that's what I found quite interesting. So, if this Varnashram system is according to our qualities and our work, what are some significant qualities in the Varnas and the Ashrams, Brahmanas, Sakshyas? Anyone know? Anyone? What are some qualities of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras? Some, like the Brahmanas, they are truthful. Yeah, that's one. Heard one. Someone said. Yeah. What's that? Yajan, Yajan, Padan, Patan is a. They are, my Sanskrit is really rusty, what's that mean? Right. They teach, yeah. Brahmanas, they perform sacrifices, they teach. That's their expertise. They don't have to earn an income, so they just, that's how they sustain the society, by their sacrifices. Yeah. Cleanliness, very important. Yeah, Brahmanas are very clean. That's how they do their worship. And I'll get later into this discussion of qualities of cleanliness and all this. Anything else? What's that? Nonviolent, yes. They are non-violent, and except for Dronacharya and a couple others, Durvasa. But non-violent, yeah, Brahmanas are non-violent. That's because they're always preaching about Krishna, which is the only non-violent thing. Anything connected to Krishna is actually non-violent. If you give anything other than Krishna, it's actually violence. You know, modern day. Oh, what's in the newspapers? Oh, I don't know. Did you hear about that? No, I didn't hear about that. Yeah, so these are some qualities of the Varnashram system that used to be in prehistoric India. Then the question arises, if this Varnashram system was like this, where everyone had these really nice qualities of tolerance and peace and everything. So, how does that relate to us as Vaishnavas? And then the question arises, does that mean that a Vaishnava has to follow the Varnashram system in order to obtain these qualities? And so, I prepared a little bit on this. So, well, according to Srila Prabhupada, this Varnashram system is that we're talking about is actually not current anymore. It's in this modern day world, the Varnashram system was such that it was way above our heads, because to be a perfect Sudra, you have to be pretty up there. And nowadays, we're not even Sudras. We're worse than Sudras. So, does that mean that we have to follow Varnashram to obtain these qualities? So, Prabhupada states, the type of Varnashram that we follow is actually called Daivi Varnashram, which is non-different from Krishna consciousness. And so this Daivi Varnashram is obtaining these qualities through initiation, through following Krishna consciousness, through getting a bona fide spiritual master like Nimai, who turned into Vishambhar and is not here. And Kumar. There you are. Hey! There he is. Hey, man. All right. So he's here. This process of initiation, obtaining a spiritual master, is quite important for Daivi Varnashram. According to Srila Prabhupada, this is our Varnashram. And some people, they try to stress that, oh, we should start Kshatriya schools, and we should, you know, train up Kshatriyas for our ISKCON, guard our devotees. But it's actually not really close to our Vaishnav principles. We start making Kshatriyas going around and killing people. But I have a reference. Before the reference, just to show an example of Varnashram in modern day, it's a little personal reference. In Vrindavan, if you go to Vrindavan, then you can go to any, if you go on Parikrama or anything, you'd see that if you go to like Radha Madan Mohan temple, there's always these brahmanas, they're caste goswamis, and that shows that they're based on their caste, they're identifying with their caste, and they say, so, you know, we joke sometimes with them, we're like, oh, you brahmanas, huh? And then they're like, yeah, sure, sure. And you see their pan-stained teeth, you know, it's red. Yes, I'm a brahman. They have 32 strings on their Gayatri thread. And then in our Gurukul, we had one boy named Pratamesh. He was a caste Goswami, and he used to get picked on so much because he was caste Goswami. But the thing is that even though he got picked on, he was so famous because he was a caste Goswami, and hundreds and thousands of people would listen to his lecture, and this is like some 13-year-old kid. So, and they would pay big money for it, and he'd have his personal guard around escorting him to Gurukul. And then he'd leave, and then we're like, ha-ha, your guard is not around. So he used to do that. So that shows that this caste system is quite prevalent in India. Even in today's society, you can see that there's this identification with this caste. Even when I was taking my board exams, they were asking what caste I was from. And I was like, I'm Nartam Rewa. What else you want me to tell you? My name, my date of birth. So they just put unknown. I was nothing in their system. So... yeah, so Prabhupada established Daivi Varnashram. And this concept that we should establish Kshatriya schools and Vaishya schools and schools and schools is quite outdated. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's he states in this book, Brahmana and Vaishnava. It's actually by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a passage and he states that many people think that there's no difference between Vaishnavas and those who are inferior to the Vaishnavas. Hence, they often inquire about the Vaishnavas' Varna and try to bury them in one of the four ashramas, like the socialites. Yet, this endeavor is a social endeavor and totally opposed to Vaishnava culture. So, you can see there, it's not so nice. But the thing is that Srila Prabhupada, he wanted that we follow this Varnashram, but it's quite impossible to try to establish this Varnashram system as we know it today, or as we know it, it was. It was a system based on morality, ethics, and principles. So, if we were to establish that kind of society, then it would take quite a lot of effort. Shrara Gopinath ki, Rishi Gonitai ki, Jagannath Pade Swachar ki. So it would take quite a lot of effort to try to establish this Varnashram system. But Prabhupada actually, he was in favor of this Varnashram system in the sense that we establish at least the principle of Brahmanas and rise to the mode of goodness through this process of chanting, getting up early, doing austerity. And through this process of Krishna consciousness, we obtain these qualities of austerity, tolerance, truthfulness, by getting initiated and following the Guru's instructions. So, I was gonna also do a little read from Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their discussion on what is the goal of life. And in that discussion, Varnashram Dharma comes. So I'll just read from that a little. So, Prabhu kahe pada shloka sadhira nirnaya raya kahe swa dharma charna vishnu bhakti haya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy, recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda replied, if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. Varnashrama charavata purusena parapuman vishnur arajyate panta nanyat tad toshakaranam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashrams. Prabhu kahe eho bahya age kaha ara raya kahe Krishna kama pana sarva ar sara. This is the Lord replied, this is external. You had better tell me of the other means. Ramananda replied, to offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection. And then he states, yad karosi yad asnasi yad juhosi darasi yad yad tapasyasi kaunteya tad kurusva mararpanam. Ramananda Roy continued, my dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he goes on and on and on. And he states that he starts ascending the levels, and each level is higher than the previous. But we can see that the basic principle where he starts at is Varnashram. And Srila Prabhupada also states that unless one rises to this standard of Varnashram, one is actually not even a human being. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is further inquiring from Ramananda Roy. He's asking, what is higher? What is higher? What is higher? And then until he gets to the point of to be Gopi Paratu Kamalayor Dasa Das Anudas, which is servant of the 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 servant until your servant. And then that's the original position of every living entity. And then he comes to the platform where he says, to be a servant in the mood of fraternal affection, or in the same mood of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like, yes, that's all right, but even higher is something else. And then finally he comes to this Madhurya Ras, or this conjugal love, serving Krishna in a conjugal love, is the highest. So here we can see that Ramananda Roy, he actually has this conjugal love, and he was just, it was the ras between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy knows the mind of Lord Chaitanya, and he states, he doesn't state, but he tries to give the Lord what he wants, but he knows how to give it in the right way. So he was keeping all the lower subsidiary elements back. So Lord Chaitanya was like, more, more, give me more. So that's the expertise of a devotee. He knows the mind of the Lord, and he tries to satisfy the Lord in whatever way he can. Possible. Because it was Karadhar Pandit's appearance day, I decided to read a little bit from Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's a really esoteric scripture, but it's full of nectar. Some pastimes on Gadara Pandit. So there's two Gadadhars actually. One is Gadadhar Das and one is Gadadhar Pandit. So this Gadadhar Das is actually mentioned as a combination of Radharani's effulgence Shakti and Balaram's girlfriend Gopi Purnananda. In Chaitanya Leela, there's so many great exalted Vaishnavas that are combinations of two different personalities. So this Gadadhar Das is a combination of Radharani and Balaram, whereas Gadadhar Pandit is the essence of Radharani, which is Radharani in full. And we can also see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the covering, his covering is Radharani, and the same effulgent Shakti is covering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because forget the verse, but it describes how Radharani and Krishna, they're actually one and the same. I don't know if Maharaj, you know that verse? Radharani and Krishna, they're both one in the same form. And yeah, that is it. Jai. So please bear with me, I'm trying to find this story. Alright. So, I'll tell two stories from Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, concerning Gadadhar Das and Gadadhar Pandit, just in glorification. One day, to show affection to Gadadhar Das, Nityananda came to his house. Gadadhar Das Mahashai was fully absorbed in transcendental bliss in the mood of the gopis. Gadadhar Das put a pot of Ganges water on his head and cried out, "Who will buy milk?" He had a beautiful deity of Sri Bala Gopal at his house. The beauty and sweetness of this deity was matchless. Seeing this enchanting deity of Balagopal, Nityananda Prabhu held him on his chest and with great love and affection. When everyone saw that Sri Balagopal was clinging on the heart of Nityananda Prabhu, they loudly chanted the names of Hari. Absorbed in the mood of the coward boy, Lord Nityananda shouted loudly and began to dance. Madhavananda Ghosh sang the pastimes of Krishna, demanding taxes from the gopis. Hearing this song, Avadhuta Nityananda became very pleased. The sweet voice of fortunate Madhavananda completely captivated the heart of Nityananda. The Lord danced, imitating the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. The fortunate Gadadhar Das forgot himself, absorbed in the mood of the gopis. He always considered himself a gopi. Hearing the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu danced so emotionally that it was beyond description. He matchlessly danced, exhibiting all the signs of ecstatic love and devotion. The movement of his dancing was equal to lightning. His legs and hands were most enchanting. How wonderfully he moved his eyes and smiled. The pastime of shaking his head was wonderful. He put his beautiful feet together and jumped up and down in a wonderful way. All the men and women floated in the happiness of Krishna Prem by the merciful glance of Nityananda. His merciful look was so intense that everyone forgot himself in spiritual bliss. By the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, anyone and everyone easily achieved the love and devotion aspired by sages and yogis. If a person as big as an elephant does not eat for 3 days, he'll become weak and unable to walk. But when a child eats nothing for 1 month and acts like a lion, it is indeed the manifestation of Lord Nityananda's mercy and energy. Still, by the illusory energy of Sri Chaitanya, no one could understand this fact. Being thus absorbed in love of God, Lord Nityananda stayed at the house of Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das was fully entranced as he induced everyone to chant the name of Hari. In the Gadadhar Das's village lived a most sinful Qazi. He was vehemently opposed to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Fully absorbed in spiritual bliss, Gadadhar Mahashaya fearlessly went one night to the house of the Qazi, of whom everyone was afraid. Chanting the names of Hari, he entered the Qazi's house. All the guards and the servants of the Qazi now saw him there, but no one dared to come forward and speak to him. Gadadhar said, "Where is the Qazi? Chant the names of Krishna right now, or I'll tear off all your heads." The Qazi came out of his room as angry as fire. Seeing Gadadhar Das, however, he became somewhat calm. The Qazi asked, "Gadadhar, why did you come here?" Gadadhar said, "I have nothing to tell you." "Oh, I have something to tell you. Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu have appeared in this world and have made everyone chant the name of Hari. You're the only one who's not chanted the name of Hari. This is why I come to you. Now chant the auspicious holy names of Hari. They'll deliver you from all your sins." By nature, the Qazi was the most envious person. However, he did not utter a word. Rather, he was stunned. The Qazi smiled and said, "Listen, Gadadhar, tomorrow I'll chant the holy name of Hari. But today, please go home." As Gadadhar Das heard the name of Hari from the mouth of the Qazi, he was filled with ecstatic love. "Why tomorrow?" he said. "You've just chanted the name of Hari. Now no more misfortune will fall on you since you've chanted the name of Hari." Saying this, Gadadhar Das became overwhelmed with the ecstasy and began to dance and clap his hands. Later, Gadadhar Das returned home. Lord Nityananda resided in the body of Gadadhar Das. Such was the extraordinary glory of Gadadhar Das, who was counted among the associates of Lord Chaitanya. So, that's a little nectar taste from Gadadhar Das's life story. Now, I'll move to Gadadhar Pandit. So this is after Lord Nityananda visits Jagannath in his temple, Jagannath Puri. He goes inside and visits Jagannath to have darshan. After seeing Jagannath, Nityananda was very happy and went to Gadadhar Pandit. Only the Supreme Lord possesses the love and affection that Nityananda and Gadadhar exchanged. The most enchanting deity of the Lord, Gopinath, resided at the house of Gadadhar. So you can see that there's two Gadadhars. One has the deity of Tota Gopinath, and one has Bala Gopal. He appeared to be exactly like the son of Nanda Maharaj. Lord Chaitanya had personally embraced this deity. Seeing this deity bewilders even a staunch atheist. When Nityananda saw the beautiful flute and attractive face of Gopinath, tears of love incessantly streamed from his eyes. Knowing that Nityananda had arrived, Gadadhar left his recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam and in great haste came to greet him. As soon as they saw each other, they embraced and began to cry. They offered their obeisances to each other and began to glorify one another. One of them said, "Today my eyes are purified." The other said, "Today my life is successful." Both the lords rapturously floated in the ocean of prema. The love and devotion manifested from their meeting was so intense that all the servants began to weep. The love and affection between Nityananda and Gadadhar is so wonderful that neither spoke to the other's enemies. Gadadhar's vow was that he would never see the face of a person who blasphemes Nityananda. Gadadhar Pandit Gosai does not even manifest himself to those who have no love for Nityananda Gosai. When the two lords became peaceful, they sat down to discuss the auspicious glories of Sri Chaitanya. Then Gadadhar invited Nityananda to accept lunch at his house. Nityananda brought 40 kilos of very fine white rice from Bengal for Gadadhar to offer to Lord Gopinath. He also brought a beautiful colored piece of cloth for the Lord. He placed before Gadadhar, Nityananda said, "O Gadadhar, please take this rice and cook for Gopinath. After offering it to the Lord, you may honor the remnants." Seeing the fine rice, Gadadhar smilingly said, "I have never seen such a rice before. Did you bring this rice from Vaikuntha for Gopinath? Mother Lakshmi cooks this rice and Krishna enjoys it." The devotees then honor the remnants. After happily praising the rice, Gadadhar took the piece of cloth and went before Gopinath. He put the divine colored cloth on Gopinath, and seeing his beauty, Gadadhar floated in an ocean of bliss. Then he began to arrange for cooking. He plucked spinach from the compound of Tota Gopinath temple. "Nobody sows this spinach, it grows by itself." Gadadhar collected a portion of the spinach to cook for Gopinath. He picked the tender leaves of the tamarind tree after making a paste out of them. He mixed it with the boiled spinach and added salt. The most fortunate Gadadhar prepared a sour item and he brought it before Gopinath to offer. At that moment, Gaurachandra arrived. Smiling while chanting the Mahamantra, Lord Gaurachandra called, "Gadadhar, Gadadhar!" Gadadhar immediately appeared before him and offered his obeisances with awe and reverence. The Lord smilingly said, "What is this, Gadadhar? I'm not fit to be invited? Actually, I'm not separate from both of you. Even if you don't offer me prasad, I eat by force. The ingredients of Nityananda, the remnants of Gopinath, and your cooking, I certainly have to share in it." Hearing these kind words of the Lord, both Nityananda and Gadadhar floated in an ocean of happiness. With immense satisfaction, Gadadhar brought the prasad of Gopinath and placed it before Gaurachandra. The fragrance of the rice filled the entire compound of the Tota Gopinath temple. The Lord repeatedly praised the rice. The Lord said, "Divide the prasad into three parts. Today we'll sit together and eat." Attracted by Nityananda's rice, Mahaprabhu sat down to take his meal. Both Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu sat down facing each other. They happily glorified the rice and the vegetables. The Lord said, "Just the fragrance of this rice guarantees one's devotion to Krishna. There is no doubt about it. O Gadadhar, what wonderful cooking. I've never eaten such a spinach preparation before. O Gadadhar, what an attractive way you have of cooking. How did you make such a preparation with tender tamarind leaves? I think you must be cooking for the Lord in Vaikuntha. And why are you hiding yourself? While smiling and joking in this way, the three personalities happily enjoyed their meals. Only these three know the loving sentiments of each other. Gaurachandra never discloses them to anyone. After the lords completed their eating and left, all the devotees grabbed their remnants. Anyone favored by the merciful glance of Gadadhar can actually know the science of Nityananda Swarup. In this way, anyone inspired by Nityananda Swarup can understand the glories of Gadadhar. Nityananda happily enjoyed the association of Gaurachandra. The three lords, namely Sri Nityananda and Gadadhar, always lived together. They saw Jagannath together and became overwhelmed when they did Nam Sankirtan. Anyone who reads or hears these pastimes of the Lord taking prasad certainly achieves Krishna and devotional service to Krishna. Accepting Sri Chaitanya and Prabhu and Nityananda as my life. I, Vrindavan Das Thakur, sing their glories. Hari 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 Hari. Yeah. So that was a little glorification of Gadadhar Pandit and Gadadhar Das, because it's also their Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day, right? Okay, I'm just wondering. I was going to talk a little bit more on the qualities of Vaishnavas. Maybe I can just read them out real fast, and then I'll take questions, answers again. While teaching Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya described 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild, and clean. They are without material possessions, and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities of lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. So, Srila Prabhupada translates inebriated as not taking to intoxication. They have no need for spiritual highs through intoxication. And one reason why a devotee is mild is because he is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, and because he's engaged in Krishna consciousness fully, he's able to control his senses, even if they're rampaging through his head. That's one reason why devotees are mild. And I remember one class that Radhana Swami was giving, and he said that in order to actually advance in Krishna consciousness, one has to put a great deal of endeavor. But also he stated that if one is serious, sincere, and without duplicitous motives, there's nothing that can stop one in advancing in Krishna consciousness. And if one is serious, sincere, and without duplicitous motives, means like you say you're going to do something and you don't do it. Or just being duplicitous, behind the back sort of stuff. But that's usually the qualities that help one advance in Krishna consciousness. So, I won't put you through more torture. Any questions? Comments? Corrections? Oh, why did Radharani and Balaram appear in one form. It actually wasn't Balaram, it was Balaram's girlfriend, Purnananda. So, yeah. Why did they appear in one form? Just to enhance the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Because they're expert in telling Lord Chaitanya's feelings and his mood. So just to enhance the pastimes, they take different forms and they even mix. And because these personalities, they're the essence of rasa. And they're whenever they mix, it just makes the rasa even more rasa-filled. So you just get rasa everywhere. So that's the devotees. Right, right. So, if your mind is rampaging, there's only to a certain point that it can rampage, and then you'll have to be done with it, or you just keep going on. So, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, I think, it is until a person achieves a higher taste that one is able to actually control these senses. A higher taste. Could also mean the book. But it's actually until one achieves a higher taste, then one rejects the lower tastes, and he doesn't become as agitated by the senses as he should. And it, I think there's the analogy of a couple, well not a couple, rivers flowing into an ocean. They're always flowing, but the ocean is always calm. So a devotee is always like that. He's calm and very peaceful because he's fully engaged and he's experiencing a higher taste. Is that good? Jot. Raj. Right. Well, the only connection I could find was King Nimi's asking, or someone is asking, who's asking who? Anyways, it's a relation between a king and his spiritual master. So we can see that in Varnashram that there was this code of approaching the seniors for advice. And so King Nimi was asking regarding the absolute truth. He was asking from his guru about if the absolute truth's highest form was personal. So we see in Varnashram that was there to approach a senior authority is normal in that system. And in that case, his guru was a Brahman and he was a Kshatriya. And he had to govern, so he had to have some source to govern. Even modern day kings, they have to have their ministers, or you know, the president has to have his ministers around him to counsel him. But usually in demoniac governments, they have the counselors running everything, and president is just the head who just does the official stuff. But behind, there's a whole network going on that we don't really see. Sound good? Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaura Premanandi.